Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Hello, welcome to episode 163 of the Square Ball Podcast. I'm Dan Moylan. With me, Michael Normanson.
Hello.
And Mr. Chapman, Moscow White.
Hello.
Giving you a formal introduction these days. I feel like you've finally earned it.
Well, I'm wearing a top hat.
The podcast is brought to you by Levi Solicitors. You can get 10% off your legal fees when you mention the Square Ball when you inquire. You can get all the information you need at levisolicitors.co.uk/the Square Ball. Looking ahead to the weekend and Sheffield Wednesday game is the next one on the radar. That's when issue 5 of our fanzine lands. It will be on sale via our website and on the streets at Ellen Road as well. And check out the clobber as well, all the merch on the website. If you want, if that Christmas money burning a hole in your pocket, spend it on us. That's what we want.
Because we didn't get any presents. It was quite a paltry Christmas.
Well, slightly strange for us recording now, because we are only 12 hours on from recording the match ball following the Arsenal game, so I dare say we haven't had a lot of new thoughts. But has anything occurred to you now the dust has settled a little bit and you've slept on it?
I've mainly got more annoyed about Lacazette not being sent off. At the time, I thought, ah, fair enough, he's not really touched him very much. But thinking about it, that is always a red card. And the number of times you've heard people say, oh, well, you can't get away with that sort of thing. But you can.
Yeah,
because he did.
If the referee's your best friend, as he seems to be, just like whatever he's doing, we're playing Xhaka rules tonight. You can do anything you like. Obviously, it was Lacazette who did the kicking thing, but
he set the tone, didn't he?
Yeah.
What one thing we didn't cover off on the match ball last night, as we were got all excited, was about what we'd said off air about Xhaka, in that if the ref had booked him fairly early on in that game for one of those multiple daft tackles, it would have probably either stopped him doing it later on in the game, or he'd have been sent off.
And it would have stopped Click getting booked as well. That was the point Danny Murphy made. Click's looked at the game for an hour and thought, all right, Xhaka's allowed to do this, I'm just going to go and put a cheeky shove in. And then it's an instant yellow card. And you could see why Click was pissing himself laughing, basically.
And Danny Murphy was funny in that we sort of touched on it a bit last night when we did the match ball, in that there was a point where he just coughed, didn't he, in lieu of saying anything when Xhaka was mentioned. He was like, yeah, that's what I was saying. That's what I was getting at. Dickhead. Didn't like him at all, and it was funny.
It was nice, actually. A bit of credit for Danny Murphy. Well, not so much credit for Danny Murphy. It's just another way to slag off Don Goodman. But it was nice to hear a Leeds game without Don Goodman or someone from, who else does it? Keith Andrews sometimes is there.
God.
Andy Hinchcliffe's pretty bad on it as well. Just nice to hear a new voice who's not a Leeds-hating bastard.
Yeah.
It is maybe worth shouting back a little bit to the West Brom game as well while we are defending Click, because Slaven Bilic was... He also had another nibble at everything after saying that the referee was fine and that the game was played in a wonderful spirit. He hadn't seen Click dragging their player down by the arm in the penalty area. And his rant, I mean, it's Slaven Bilic, so it goes on for quite a while, but that's a penalty. There's no discussion about it. He's talking about not seeing the whole pitch or having a technical view of the pitch. And he says... Yes, he says he always sees the technical view of the pitch. So it's not like a combat, like Saving Private Ryan. You don't see it from up there. Still, you don't need a Saving Private Ryan cinemascope view of what's happening in the trenches.
I'm already
lost
about
this.
What's going on?
You remember when Click dragged him down?
Yeah, but why is he talking about Saving Private Ryan?
And a lot of Saving Private Ryan wasn't in the trenches. There was quite a lot on the beach. Well, he's comparing quite a bit in a town.
He's comparing it to like a close-up view of the violence.
Where was Tom Hanks?
Man-to-man combat that you would get.
Whereas, he's basically just watched Saving Private Ryan, hasn't he? Yeah. He can't get out of his head.
Yeah. He's expecting Matt Damon to haul Matthias Click down. Is that what's...
It's like when you do a seminar. Everybody moves and it's clear for the linesman. It's clear for the fourth official. It's clear for the guy at the top of the stand. It's clear for me. It's clear for the referee. There's nobody in front of him. It's a pen all day long. There's no discussion about it. And of course, I'm angry.
I'd make a little drinky drinky motion if I'd heard this live. Well,
there's more.
Like a bit of a, Slavin's been on the sherry.
He ends this with quite a flourish. He says, after that penalty we got against Preston, I had to talk about that penalty for a couple of days, the one they got by cheating. Was it harsh? Was it this? Was it that? I almost had to apologise for something that you would have needed VAR. With this one, nobody's talking about it. It's a derby game. They were saying Preston was an important game. What was this one then?
It wasn't a derby game.
This was the game of the decade. Only that...
What's he on about? He's gone a bit silly there, hasn't he?
I think he's annoyed that he had to defend his players for diving and cheating in the Preston game when you would need a video referee to be able to see that they had dived and cheated. Whereas he's saying this was so obvious that everybody sort of should have seen it. And it's a much more important game and he's wound up calling it the game of the decade.
Well, the obvious thing to point out is that that's his player who's done the thing the first time round. So that's his responsibility, whereas the referee, not his responsibility. So... All you can really say is, yes, the referee was wrong. Whereas you say, are you making them cheat, Slaven? Given you yourself were a big cheat. Do you remember him getting Laurent Blanc sent off in the World Cup?
He was a bit of a dreadful bastard.
Went down holding his face when I think Blanc just like spoke to him from a few inches away or something.
Yeah, that breath kind of, yeah.
So
he went full Bamford, didn't he?
So Slaven, but yeah, he did. It was a full Bamford Villa.
I would also like to refer the honourable gentleman to my previous comments on this. In that, if you actually watched that, they were both at it, and as Click threw him to the floor, he still had a hold of Click's shirt or his arm, one of the two. I can't remember which it was. They were clearly both tugging at each other. You don't stand there, like, you know, in the penalty area, you don't stand there and decide, do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to just start pulling this guy around for a laugh. It's because you're both doing it.
Yeah. It was Saving Private Ryan, Dan.
Anyway, at least it didn't cost anyone a place in a World Cup final.
Yeah.
This is true.
Like you, Slaven.
That was game of the century, wasn't it?
Game. Yeah. That was Laurent Blanc's game of the century.
I think
and he missed it.
But he's a scum bastard, so I was actually quite amused that Laurent Blanc.
He wasn't at the time, was he?
I think he might have been.
I thought that was.
Weren't him and Fabien Barthez both full on scum at that point?
I mean, so. I think given how nice Bilic was generally about Bielsa and the game and all that, I think he's probably still just about in credit.
Yeah, we should concentrate on that stuff. And then we've got Mikel Arteta last night saying that playing against Leeds is a nightmare. It's like going to the dentist. And he did say some interesting stuff about the kind of what we were touching on last night with how the Arsenal players were just such a bunch of twats, where he was saying that he told them this team are really good and they have to be really good three times a week. They're strong. They play in the championship. You're going to have to be alert from the first minute. And they basically spent the first 45 minutes like as if it was just a training match. And I think he, from memory, from reading his comments this morning, he sort of said he's interested now that he's seen their reaction, that in the second half they got shouted at and then played a bit better. So now he knows, he's like, right, if you can react like that, you can play like that. Yeah. And everything you're sort of saying about it seems like he's got a primary school class and he's like trying to get their sort of behaviour out rather than having a football team where it's like teaching them how to do an overload and switch and overload and isolate and how do you give a shit, lads? Yeah, the Bielsa and his 16 different ways of passing and whatever. In this, no, it's like, how do I make these millionaire children care about doing their jobs?
That's one thing we did touch on a lot last night. I found it remarkable, the lack of any giving a shit from a lot of the Arsenal players, particularly in that first half.
I was thinking, like Ozil, he is a player that really you don't need to teach much to. He's won a World Cup and European Cups, maybe one, just two, who knows. He's won lots of good stuff, is what I'm saying.
A lot's happened since we've been out the top levels, hasn't it?
So he shouldn't need instruction. He should just be good, but he didn't give a shit.
Yeah, I worked out on Ozil. You know, he's on 350 grand a week, isn't he, Ozil? Which is £18.2 million a year before tax. Our entire squad was put together at a cost of £17 million last night.
That's about half of our turnover, isn't it? £18.6 million.
And they all had that air of the match being something that they just wanted to get over and done with. God, I mean, it's late. We're missing EastEnders. Can we just 80 minutes? Have we had enough? Has everyone had enough? Next goal, and then we can go out. I've got to be up early in the morning for a manicure, a toe massage.
They should have, by rights, given the difference in divisions and all that, they should have at least put us to the sword. And they didn't. They had us under pressure. But, you know, we've been under pressure in other games across the last year or two, occasionally.
We've been under pressure by a lot worse teams than that. Yeah. So I'm not sure that we played as well as we did in the first half. I'd like to watch it again and then compare it to, like, the first half when we completely destroyed Cardiff. Because there did seem to be something where, maybe with the space and the lack of interest that Arsenal were giving us, we just seem to be attacking faster, better. That one-touch passing around the box, often in the Championship, you'll see, like, Click will take a touch and look for a pass and maybe stand on the ball a few times. Last night, we were suddenly just like...
Taking it around.
To quote Arsenal fans TV, we were like Arsenal. We were like Barcelona, bopping them all over the pitch.
Yeah, whatever that means. Yeah.
We'll have to get used to this sort of stuff, won't we?
We didn't even mention the fact that Nicolas Pepe was like 75 million quid as well. Who was the other player they had up front or kind of a forward wide player?
I mean, Lacazette was decent.
He was quite good.
Especially in the second half, but I don't really remember Pepe being dangerous at all. Lacazette versus White. Lacazette was the one who kind of shit White up, wasn't he?
But you could sort of see his quality, I think, and his touch and stuff like that. It looks more dangerous than anything we've faced in the Championship. But even then, it was that level of kind of disinterest, wasn't it? Like, no chasing down second balls and nobody supporting each other. And I don't know.
The only time I remember Pepe's name specifically being mentioned was when their keeper took a long goal kick. And Danny Murphy tried to defend the fact by saying Nicolas Pepe is quick. I don't think there were any Arsenal players in our half, and the keeper kicked it the full length of the pitch,
straight into Meslier's hands, wasn't it?
And he was like, "Well, he could have got to that." He was almost implying that Nicolas Pepe is the fastest human to have ever lived, and it could maybe have run the 50 meters required in under 3 seconds. Other than that, though, didn't out.
I mean, with the aid of hindsight, we were sort of saying, weren't we? It was the ideal outcome last night—an honourable 1-0 defeat. And now we can just get back to business. And it's going to free up a couple of weeks, at least one against Millwall in the league, give the lads a week off, which is probably more valuable than anything, I think, at this stage.
West Brom and Fulham are still in the cup as well, aren't they?
Yeah,
hopefully
it's all
that
quite
can...
good. Who have they got in the draw? I know I shouldn't throw these questions at us when we haven't even looked at it.
I kind of hope someone bad so they can keep progressing. Just keep getting through round after round, injury after injury.
While you look at that, I wanted to mention that I'd been running some numbers on this promotion bid and calculate it's actually really, really hard for us to not get promoted now. Do you know that?
Shush.
It is. It really is. I mean, I want to put the information there and you can form your own conclusion, but it really, really is, right? So if we go off a basis of 90 points being what we need, yeah, we only need probably about another, let's say realistically, another 36 points will see us up, 38 maximum. Plenty of scope for dropping a few points here and there. Last year from this point, we only got 32 points. So we only need to be a couple of games better off than we were last year. That's the starting point. We've also got a bigger gap to third as well, which essentially is three of those points extra. So it's really, really hard. And if anybody wants to pip us to it, now Sunderland is the example here, right? In 1998, they got 90 points and still finished in the playoffs, which is unheard of.
Was that Quinn, Phillips and Bridges? What a team.
But in order to do that, you're talking about Brentford getting 91 points, which means they'd have to get like 48 points from 20 games, which is like, it's nearly 2.5 points per game.
If we don't win any more games this season?
But we will. You're talking about Brentford dropping only 12 points for the rest of the season. They need 2.4 points per game and they're only on 1.65.
I think Brentford might only need to win 4 more games all season and they could still finish above us.
I mean, the caveat is that they do need to play us, so there is a 6-pointer in there, and the same goes for Forest. And again, similar story for Forest though. They still need to get 48 points from 21 games, which is ridiculous and way above what they've done all season.
Have they signed Jack Clark yet? He was rumoured to be going there, wasn't he? Is it confirmed or?
I've not seen it confirmed anywhere, but yeah, that's strong rumours that he may be on his way to Forest.
It would take a monumental collapse for us to not go up.
Why did the words Jack Clark suddenly make you think of a monumental collapse? It wasn't really monumental, it was just kind of a little collapse.
Obviously, the only sort of collapse we've ever seen like that before has come from us. So that's the danger sign, is that we're all kind of too stressed by last season, but we really are going to have to mess this up in a spectacular way.
The news from the FA Cup fourth round draw, Forest got knocked out, didn't they? So that's them. The other teams do have some quite pleasantly distracting matches. Brentford at home to Leicester City. That's a big game. So that will keep them occupied for a while. Fulham away to Manchester City. So again, they'll all be like, hey, we're back in the Premier League, let's just concentrate on that. And West Brom away to West Ham United, so that's going to be just a Slaven Bilic wankfest day after day. So they've all got games that will distract them. Millwall, even if we're looking at them sliding into the playoffs like little pieces of shit, they're at home to Sheffield United. So again, it's they've all got Premier League teams that will, will distract them, and they'll hopefully win and fuck their season up even more. If they all need replays, that would be ideal.
We thank Levi Solicitors for their support as well. New year, if you fancy a moving house, a lot of people doing it at this time of year, if you are, speak to the conveyancing team at Levi's, accredited as part of the conveyancing quality scheme. If you're buying, selling, remortgaging or a new build, they've got it all covered off. They're completely transparent on fees, and you can get an instant quote right now on the website if you go to our landing page. Address coming in a second. And don't forget, whatever number is shown on there, you can knock a further 10% off as well because you're coming through the square ball. Head to levisolicitors.co.uk/the square ball.
Is that all with a view to the transfer window? So the players that we're bringing in, they're going to have to move to the area, aren't they?
Was hoping to cast the net a little bit wider than that, but I mean, if footballers are listening to this, bless you, I'm sorry about everything. But
yeah.
But yeah, please do. levisolicitors.co.uk/the square ball. In amongst all this hot Arsenal chat, we now need to replace Eddie Nketiah. He's gone back. Least surprising news of the decade. It's now a problem, isn't it? We've only got one striker. I mean, you can't...
Ryan Edmondson's there. Not just one striker.
I can't have been alone last night, you know, when Bambo hurt his foot a little bit late on in that game and thought, no.
Well, him and Ayling were both injured at the exact same moment, weren't they? And you thought, all right, is where it goes wrong.
I did wonder if one of them's like, who's going to be brave here? And Bambo's like, now I've got the image, even though he's actually mortally wounded. I'll carry on. It's okay, Luke. Save yourself. We've got Tyler Roberts as well. Speaking of the mortally wounded, he's a striker.
Yeah, well, he's never playing again, is he? He's going the same way as Forshaw. 1 week in, 7 weeks out for Tyler Roberts.
The terror that... Marcelo Bielsa inspired with his comment in the press conference when he said that Adam Forshaw, he has a problem with his hip and he cannot recover 100% from this. And when that was tweeted straight out, everyone was like, "What? He's actually going to have to retire." It's like, no, it's the tense is lost in translation. He means he is having difficulty recovering 100% from this.
Terminal.
It is.
He cannot recover 100% from
this. It is 4 months he's been out now, 16 weeks.
It is mad. The first game he missed, it was Barnsley, and he's due for a late fitness test.
Should be fine for Derby next week.
He's more or less okay, but he's been at that 80% fitness or whatever. Whereas at least Tyler Roberts is up and down.
We do get a little bit more detail than the days when I still love Thomas Christiansen when he said Pierre-Michel Lasogo. What's the problem with his injury? And he went, it's the leg. Just absolutely giving nothing away. But it does seem like they've been caught out by whatever is up with Forshaw. Wasn't Phil saying the other week that they're like trying to avoid an operation with him, and that might be the thing, that they don't want to go down that route for whatever is up with him?
I guess there is an argument.
Hip replacement.
Well, yeah, there's an argument for saying if we can get 3 months out of him, 2 months out of him at the back end of the season when we really need it, is it worth it?
We got Robbie Gotts now, though.
That's true. Never to play again. Some of the names then that have been touted: Shea Adams. Didn't realise
he'd replace Forshaw.
No.
Oh, we're back to strikers.
Yeah, he'd been touted as a striker, but didn't realise he'd been named after Che Guevara, which should play right into Marcelo's political leanings.
That's obviously why we want him.
And Salim Lamrani's probably got posters of Shea Adams on his wall, one would imagine.
Next to his posters of Shea.
Well, we're on first names. Who was Reece named after?
Last night, Reece Nelson.
Reece. Not spelled like Reece, is the name near the name Reece, but like the shop.
Maybe he's been named after a clothing brand.
I mean, it's not a bad shop from memory. Get some decent gear in there.
Anyway, Che Adams will want to destroy the commercial property, I'm sure.
Refusing to have any... You're probably going to Southampton's club shop. Can I have Che Adams on the back of my shirt? No, sorry, he won't allow it.
But he's not leaving, according to Hassan Hootle. He says, I cannot consider that I loan him out because I need every player, especially in the attacking position. We don't have that many.
They are still, though, the thing with Southampton is they're trying to buy a striker. And so there's still that chance that if they get one, we can have him.
That's really the case with all the players that get linked at this point. It's at the moment they're needed, but then if their club can buy someone, they could probably move on.
I was looking through this list of targets and I can't remember if we've got... Glenn Murray down here, but when we're down to the point when we're looking at 42-year-old fuck's sake Glenn Murray, you do start to see that truth in what Victor Orta says about the January window, where it's very difficult to buy anybody good, and that the values all go up. Because if you look at the few players that clubs don't need, they're not great. And then if you look at the values they're putting on them, because they know that it's basically a seller's market in January, you end up spending £10 million on Glenn Murray or Gary Medine, who you don't really want, which kind of then says we maybe should have tried harder to keep Eddie and Nketiah in the end, even if he wasn't the right player for our system. At least he would, you know,
be there.
Yeah, exactly.
It's very 2 a.m. in a nightclub, isn't it? It's the dregs, and the risks. What's left is left for a reason.
Beautiful way to put it. Where's this Luke Freeman link come from? He's at Sheffield United.
Well, we tried to buy him over summer, and they got him instead. Well, we were apparently linked with him over summer. They got him instead, and then they haven't used him.
He's the lad who was at QPR, yeah?
He was really good against us for QPR last year.
He's the new Darren Huckabee.
And did you see, I was reading about him, did you see he's already mates with Luke Ayling?
Mm-hmm.
And Luke Ayling was at Luke Freeman's wedding. They might even be the same person, I'm not sure. But did you see who else was there? Kyle Bartley,
mm-hmm.
sign him, and Matt Smith. All the players we need were at that wedding. That's right. Just the transfer window sorted, if you were there.
And to think Brian McDermott went to Noel Hunt's wedding and thought he came back with all the players he needed. Why wasn't Bielsa invited to this? Ayling must have invited Bielsa to his wedding.
I think it was Freeman's wedding rather than
Luke Ayling. Well, Luke Ayling must have invited
Bielsa as his plus one.
Freeman's wedding.
Get exactly. Bielsa to do a speech.
What's his wife? Poppy, is she called?
Yes.
He just said, look, Poppy, you're not coming to this wedding. I'm taking Bielsa in a tracksuit.
Back to Luke Freeman. And what position does he play for the benefit of anybody who can't remember?
He's just a forward, isn't he? He's kind of got that old school, just I'll play up front and be really good thing about him. Sheffield United gave him number 8 in their squad, if that counts for anything, and then not played him. And he was QPR's most dangerous player when we played them in a year. Didn't he score the goal that put Bielsa into that corridor crouching torment?
Quite possibly, yeah.
Yeah, or at least he set it up. And
I seem to remember he played a little bit Pablo-ish. He was kind of on the right, but cutting in, in the middle, kind of playing a bit number 10-y. He'd be good.
If he was the Jack Clark replacement, then he would be a massive upgrade.
Yeah.
Because one, he'd be able to stand up without falling over.
Yeah, so caffeine coma.
Also in his favour is that he doesn't like Lee Johnson, who sold him while he was at Bristol.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah, he was at Bristol with Ayling, and then they sold him to QPR.
I do find Lee Johnson to be, I find him a really interesting character. Little man syndrome.
Yeah, so I mean, if we can maybe get up and upset Lee Johnson as much as possible in the process, that's worth doing.
And of course,
he'll offer to fight us. Well,
we play them soon, don't we, as well? So we can get Freeman in and banging him in against Lee Johnson and celebrating in front of the dugout.
Maybe the key to getting Freeman out of Sheffield United is to tell Chris Wilder that he's going to play instead of Pat Bamford. That'd please him. We promise we will drop Bamford.
Good. Who's Corley Woodrow? Where's this come from?
Cauliflower, as his mother christened him, Corley for short, plays for Barnsley, and everything that's ever come from Barnsley to Leeds has always been great.
Like what?
Paul Heckingbottom.
Oh yeah.
It was sarcasm.
I was trying to think who you actually meant.
But they do owe us for Apo Halme. We need to get something back, and Mowat, and all the other players we sent their way. I mean, I don't know a lot about him, but he's basically a decent striker in a shit team.
He was well thought of when he was at Fulham in his younger days, and then he was one of these who went off on loan somewhere every season and never properly settled anywhere, as he has settled at Barnsley and seems to be fairly well regarded there. And he does look a little bit like Bamford from a distance.
He's been scoring 1-2 in that Barnsley side by the looks of it, is that right?
Yeah, and they're rubbish. He's got 2 goals on loan for Bristol City as well under Lee Johnson, so I wonder if he's another Lee Johnson hater.
I mean, he can play in the big games as well, because I looked at his wiki. Represented the south of England in the Tesco Cup in 2008.
So he's used to the big occasion.
Yeah, so he can cut it with the best of them. I mean, he's got England under 21 caps and stuff.
I mean, he's got to be brilliant. He's got 9 of them, 3 goals as well. And we saw how excited we were about Eddie Nketiah scoring for England under 21.
So. How old is he now?
25.
All right, so he's well sort of past the under 21 bracket. Hasn't made the step up to the full team.
Not just yet. Maybe next year once he's in the Premier League with us.
He can revive his career. He's got it after all those loans. He seems to have found his home in Yorkshire, just the wrong bit.
He did sign a new contract in May, so he clearly is willing to stay in the area.
Yeah.
We could, he, we he could won't upgrade his house for him?
He won't need Levi Solicitor's services for a new house unless they can help him. Maybe he thinks it would be too complicated to move and he doesn't realise how simple and what a great 10% discount he could get.
He could maybe get out of his back-to-back terrace in Barnsley that he shares.
And that's come from Alan Nixon, always reliable with his rumours.
Well, he's also responsible for Luke Freeman as well.
Oh, right.
And there's all sorts of names flying around, like Glenn Murray's always popping up just because I think he's old. And I think any striker who's kind of slightly out of favour at a Premier League club at the moment is being linked with us, with possibly the exception of like Lacazette or Divock Origi. He's getting some games now, so we're probably not going to be in for him.
Hey, one good thing that's happened, though, return of De Bock, as Mark Morrison once sang.
Well, it doesn't sound good. Well, it depends on your point of view. For him, and I still retain some sympathy for Lawrence De Bock as a person, because I do feel like Leeds United is... He's one of the... Hopefully the changing of the decade will bring to an end Leeds United just ruining people's lives for no reason. But after his loan at Sunderland, he's been recalled, and Phil Parkinson, Sunderland boss, says it's for personal reasons, as Lawrence wants to go back to Belgium. And I imagine he's wanted to go back to Belgium for about 3 years now. And maybe they've finally found a way of letting him go home.
How is Yusuke Adeguchi? Do we know?
I keep meaning to check up on him. I think he's doing fine, actually. All he needed was to get back to Gamba Osaka, where he was a superstar and a brilliant player. And maybe the same thing will happen with Lawrence De Bock. He'll get into that Belgium team that's going to win the World Cup, the European Championship, whichever one's next. He just needs to be back in the land of mayonnaise.
Under-23s did all right, though, didn't they, against Hull? The little mini Tigers, the Cubs.
The Cubs, yeah, very nice. McAlmont, another nice goal in that, some nice Bielsa-esque 1-2 stuff going on at the edge of the box. It's a strange league, isn't it, the under-23s? I feel like whenever we get a good result, we're really pleased, and whenever we get a bad result, we go, oh, there's something gone wrong there. It's not fair. We're happy to dismiss it or embrace it as much as we choose.
I did get the reminder last night watching Martinelli coming on for Arsenal and the other 18-year-olds that they brought on of... It's the club's aspiration at the moment. They're trying to make us into a Tier 1 academy or a Tier 2 academy by the end of this season.
We are Tier 2 at the minute, yeah.
Right, without the move to Holbeck yet, just so we can get into the league where players like that are, because Derby, who were in the level above, the professional development level above, hammered us 7-0, and then we're hammering Hull 5-0. And it does kind of say the players we've got need to be playing against better players. And that was kind of the concept with Victor Orta's influx of absolute nonsense in his first season, where we didn't have enough players for an under-23s squad, so we just filled them with as many sort of half-decent players from across Europe to give Robbie Gotz somebody decent to play with. And yeah, it was just that little reminder, like, I was thinking, why have Arsenal brought on this 18-year-old who looks magnificent? And our young players all look really good, but then it is kind of a reminder that maybe they're not going to be instantly top four Premier League level as soon as they go in the team. They're starting from a bit further back. And that's the reason we are the under-23s are in a lower development.
A lot of that is concerned with money as well. Now, your money doesn't count where FFP is concerned. It's ignored, isn't it, as investment in youth. However, it does involve quite a substantial cash commitment and facilities and staffing levels and stuff. So you're talking about taking on costs that maybe the club can't afford just yet.
Well, it's what they're saying they want to do. The plan for this summer is to become a Tier 1 academy. So it sounds like I hope they wouldn't be bragging about that if they weren't going to actually pay the money for it. And then after that, it's then putting all the money into moving to Holbeck, which is, this is the year when they do the proper scoping work to see if that can actually happen at the Matthew Murray site.
I mean, what's the point in bringing in young players? Because we know what'll happen. Liam Cooper will get in front of him and he'll just start effing and jeffing because he's a disgrace.
Why have the FA even mentioned this to anyone? If you don't know the story, basically, he used a naughty word in front of a ball boy.
Something like, give me the flipping ball back, you little bugger.
I mean, so what?
I mean, have you heard the Leeds fans chanting about Sky Sports?
did we mention on here Louis Coyle still just about of this parish who Sunderland want to steal from Fleetwood now? It seems like everybody's determined not to let him live the rest of his life and career at Fleetwood. But he effectively, I don't want to make it sound too dramatic, punched a Blackpool ball boy to the ground. He gave him a proper shove, at least, to try and get the ball back off him in a game that was already riven by pitch invasions and all sorts of fights going off. And he went to the ball boy school in Blackpool, surprised him, took him, he'd got him a pair of...
decked him outside.
But took him out. Beat the shit out of a child.
No crowds there now, other son. It's just me and you.
Waiting for him outside the school gate. No, he gave him a...
Because from a family of boxers as well, isn't he, Coyle? Probably took his brother down as well, gave him a proper shoe in.
Well, he gave him a proper pair of shoes because he gave him a pair of football boots in orange because it's the kids are Blackpool fans, so he gave him then and apologised. But what was great was the ball boy...
There's a pair of clogs for you, enjoy those.
The ball boy said, no, it was really good of him to come in and say sorry, and I wasn't mad about it because in his situation, I would probably have done the same. I was like, there we go. Whereas this little Fulham idiot is all like, oh no, you swore at me.
He'd have been in Cockney, though, wouldn't he?
Somebody.
London, right, London.
I remember when I used to...
Going back complaining to Fagan. You'll never know what happened to me today. Some guy getting Scottish.
When I used to play for a bad Sunday league team, you know, like, it was down at Addle somewhere, but there's pictures side by side and there was a kids game going on next to us, and Andy, our goalkeeper, was a bit of a sweary character, and one of the mums from the pitch next to him said, would you mind watching your language, there's kids here, and he says, if you don't, if they don't like fucking swearing, they shouldn't be playing fucking football.
and that applies here,
and that applies here,
yeah. Did you notice the attitudes? And I think this is a good sign of how much we did sort of rattle them, that one of the Arsenal ball boys was giving Meslier last night, he stood right on the edge of the pitch holding the ball out to him and made Meslier come over and get it. I mean, that's fine. Like, I love that kid who threw the ball past Cristiano Ronaldo and then looked the other way as if nothing had ever happened. I thought that was cool. And then the Spurs one the other week who was obviously been told, get the ball back quickly and did all that. That's fine. But FA Cup third round against a championship team and you're time wasting, it was more embarrassing than anything else. Not as embarrassing as Liam Cooper having to make a public apology for this. It's fine if they wanted to say, like, get in touch with them and say, ball boy wasn't happy about that, you need to just watch yourself around the ball boys and careful with your language.
Ball boys are like 15. And also, he's not told a 5-year-old kid to fuck off, has he? It's going to be like an almost adult that he swore at.
Sitting next to a football pitch as well. It's not as if this is the first time that ball boy has ever heard a curse word being used. I mean, unless Fulham have a swear jar or something.
He's gone
ridiculous.
Home and his mum's been, where did you hear that word? Liam Cooper said it to me.
Right.
Well, you don't ever say that again.
Mummy is not a...
We'd established that because he's a Cockney, he's an orphan.
Of course.
So unless it was the ghost of his mother who he was confessing to.
Anyway, sent him a shirt and some boots so he can fuck off. I hope he wrote that on the note.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Taking a lead from the sensational performance of the Leeds fans in London yesterday, we are going to be having our own little, perhaps slightly wet party.
Mm. That sounds...
Sounds a little bit porno, doesn't it?
Sounds a little bit like a German fetish club.
It does. I'm talking about the Booze Baton and our end-of-season promotion party, which our mate Eden J. Harris, who goes by the nickname of Garden, check him out on Twitter, he's been tracking this for us. Basically, party started the season in Leeds when we lost to Stoke in the League Cup. They took it from us, and that became the destination, and so on and so forth. It changes hands through victory or defeat, whichever way you want to frame it. Anyway, it's in Southampton at the minute. Did you notice, we didn't mention this on the last podcast, but they played Huddersfield in the Cup at the weekend. So there was the very real possibility that it could have been fun and frolics in Kirklees with the Cowley brothers, couldn't it? What a night out that would have been.
Oh, that's quite fancier now.
An indie rock club, presumably, with those two.
Whatever the older brother wants to do, I think.
Well, we dodged that particular bullet anyway, and it stayed with Southampton because they defeated them. They've got Leicester at the weekend, so there's a very good chance. I think this is where the baton might be changing hands.
Leicester, I don't fancy it much.
I've woken up in an awful state in Leicester before. There's a nice park.
Is that where you're going to be sleeping?
Was it really? Was it a park you woke up in, or?
No. It was just a terrible hangover after. It was a festival at Abbey Park.
I think I've been to that park, you know, strangely enough.
In fact, I remember being rowed around the boats by... I said rowed about the boats. I should have specified it was a lake. I was in the boat. It's a good park, so maybe we could just go there. Cans in the park.
The alternative is we could go to one of those favourite destinations for Leeds fans, which is Leicester Forest East service station on the M1.
Either or. I mean, there'll probably need to be a few designated drivers, or unless we just get a lot of coaches.
On this week's Extra Ball, then, our other subscription paid podcast, we are looking back at the 2010s and we're going to have a look back through the highs, the lows, and all the bits probably in between, because there's quite a lot of in-betweeny bits.
There was one of those like Talking Heads Channel 5 reviews of the decade. We're going to have Stuart McConey on it.
Lazy content, basically, is what we're saying. It's just lazy end of decade content.
Yeah, but you know, it needs covering off. We'll only do it this time, and then it's another 10-year wait for the next one. So
get some weather presenters we've not heard of to come on and go, do you remember that? I remember that.
You weren't born though. I still remember it.
Bonus content on the Extra Ball every week, and by subscribing to the Extra Ball you are getting behind us as well, which we really, really appreciate, and the chance to win goodies from us every week as well. A mug made out of mug stuff that's dishwasher safe every single week. Enjoy your first month free at thesquareball.net/theextraball. Wednesday on Saturday.
I mean, I'm struggling enough with it being 2020. I don't need this in my life. I don't need Gary Monk in my life.
We really don't. After the sort of the joy, the unbridled joy of that first 45 minutes at the Emirates, we're now going to have to get straight back into the grind and endure Gary Monk properly shithousing us on Saturday.
It is a real bump.
It is going to be time wasting from the first minute, more or less, I would imagine.
Well, I don't know. I mean, they need wins. If they've got to avoid this massive points deduction ending in relegation, they've got to get some wins on the board.
Because they've kind of appealed and they're going through arbitration and stuff like that. It feels like they're trying to delay and delay as much as possible, doesn't it?
Aren't they trying to sue the Football League at this point as well? They did win in the... they beat Brighton in the FA Cup, so they beat Premier League opposition in their prize away to QPR. Have that, you losers.
They're not on a great streak of form.
Because they're shit. They're managed by a wanker.
Three consecutive league defeats to Stoke, Cardiff at home, and then Hull at home. And all those shenanigans of Hull's manager not being able to park and there was no electricity in the dressing. Just behave.
And losing to those three as well. You don't lose to Stoke. I know they've got the new manager and he's decent, but Stoke, Cardiff and Hull, what a depressing state of affairs. But it's hilarious.
It is the classic Gary Monk bounce has happened and now they're sort of tailing off again.
I've had the group together, you know, talked about what we need to put out on the pitch at the weekend. Bit distracting. Pep Clatet sent me a text. All that kind of rubbish.
It'd be interesting to see how Stephen Fletcher and Barry Bannon's hair's doing. That's the main thing I'm going to be looking out for in this game, because it's every time we play them, it gets a little thicker.
This is one of those games when it will actually be a privilege to be sitting on the gantry. Anybody in East Upper, also, you will have the take your binoculars. You'll get a magnificent view of the most important aspects of the game.
Did very much, was it the person on Wacko who suggested that we've become too media lovey now because he's on the bloody gantry and we do a podcast with Phil Hay?
See it up there, it's freezing.
You're too close to the club now. You're not the voice of the fans anymore.
I get a desk in front of me. As long as I sweep the dead flies off it when I get there, it's fine.
Is that true?
Yeah. There is one seat that you sometimes see, like visiting journalists go and they sit down and say, oh, there's nobody here, loads of space here. And there's a light above it that attracts basically every flying insect in LS 11. I imagine anybody who lives around there, just like they have their houses to fly free because they're all there and they realise that they drop upon them through the game. You see them hastily like packing up their laptops and moving.
It's no Emirates with its ice cream fridge and Pinot Noir and all that kind of business, is it?
Get a free bottle of water. The toilets are quite nice.
I did enjoy the poster that Paul Robinson, formerly of the YP, tweeted it of yesterday of Arsenal apologising for having not having the right wine in stock. It was like, we are pleased to offer the Pinot Noir such and such instead. I just thought, at Leeds, I don't think there's a choice of wine.
Graham Smith gave me a fruit pastel.
You've changed.
You have sold out. You are just a media corporate lovey. Honestly, if you think we're too close to the club, God bless you. And thanks to the club for giving you the gantry seat, but it's only so you can see properly, isn't it?
And use a nice toilet. That's the two main benefits. Although the hand dryers are very slow.
And the flies on the desk, still better than your flat.
All right. Should we talk about Sheffield Wednesday?
Let's talk about Sheffield Wednesday.
WhoScored.com say that they are very strong at creating scoring chances and attacking down the wings, attacking set pieces. The way that's phrased makes it sound like they go and fight a set piece. And strong at aerial duels, which will probably be Ntuhu and Fletcher. They're weak at avoiding offside, weak at defending against through ball attacks, and very weak at avoiding fouling in dangerous areas. That's kind of useless to us, because even with Bazdog in the team last night, we weren't coming close from a free kick.
Meslier, he's the answer.
Stick him on free kicks. Yeah, do you think he'll keep his place for this game?
I don't.
I don't think he will, but stranger things have happened. He did very well.
He did.
Yeah. With Sheffield Wednesday, it is a Gary Monk. Stephen Fletcher is his Chris Wood in this team. If you take his goals out, they're basically nowhere.
Yeah, he scored 12. The next best has scored 3. Jordan Rhodes is still there with 3. Tom Lees has scored 2. So, Jesus.
Where are they in the league? So they're just outside the playoffs. They're 8th at the minute on 39.
Not staying there.
39 points. Or bottom when they get their points deduction, yeah, which I can't wait
I'm
for.
I'm really looking forward to it.
I want to just mainly see how quickly Gary Monk jumps ship when they get that points deduction, because he's going to be straight on the phone to his agent.
League One is not for him, is it? Can you imagine?
It would still be glorious to witness, though. I'm really looking forward to seeing that if it happens. In the meantime, though, we're better than them. We proved it on national telly last night.
Yep.
The away game was fairly tight. That worries me a bit.
It was a hard-fought game, that, wasn't it?
It was 0-0, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We don't really have 0-0s anymore, do we?
I think that was the only one we've ever had under Bielsa.
It feels old-fashioned to have a 0-0. George Graham era, there were most weeks, weren't there? But yeah, I don't know. Yeah, we need to just win this. We need to win every game just to calm me down. Although, like you say, we've got through this Christmas period. I thought if we can get into the new year still sort of 9 points clear, then we're more or less up. But now we're here and we're 9 points clear and it's the new year. Still feels like we're not up.
Our other teams, the teams around us, rather, do have some easy games. Brentford have a 12:30 kickoff at home to QPR. West Brom are away at Charlton, who are 19th. Lee Bowyer might do us a favour there. Who else are we worried about? Fulham.
Charlton are 19th now. When did that happen?
They've just sunk down the division, haven't they, since they beat us?
It often happens. And Nottingham Forest away to Reading. So they've all got winnable games, as do we. So we need to make sure we don't undo that that little advantage that we build up.
Because we said, didn't we, the West Brom game, it felt like we'd kind of pressed the reset button to an extent on the season, and now we're kind of going into this final run-in of 20 games. And a win here probably would not settle the nerves, because I don't think anyone's particularly nervous, but it would go a long way to helping everybody.
Hitting the reset button is maybe a fancy way of saying we didn't play like we did against Birmingham twice.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, a relief that it wasn't just going to be, This is what we're doing now. That first part of the season when we had the best defence in Europe. Nope, we're doing this from now on. And then to get back to that against West Brom, where it was just one goal from a set piece that we know is a problem. So we didn't see anything fresh to particularly concern us. And even if, I suppose, the one worry from the Arsenal game is Billy's hamstring. But that just means Stuart Dallas back at right back, where he was very influential earlier in the season, and we just need to play with 10 because we haven't got any midfielders. But I think we'll be fine with that. Maybe Robbie Gotz keeps his place.
Maybe so. Actually,
stay in midfield. Yeah. But then we saw Helder Costa moving in, and so you could see, as Bielsa likes to say, there's players who can cover all those positions. And Baby Shaq's had his half hour in the under 23, so can't be far away.
What do we fancy for this game then against Wednesday? I think we'll beat them 1-0.
I fancy embarrassing them.
To what extent?
To the extent that Gary Monk is crying. Can a snake cry? Can a snake weep? A weeping snake? Is that a thing?
That also sounds like a German fetish club as well. The weeping snake.
Yeah, the weeping snake.
If we're going down
it is full of monks.
Snakes can dislocate the jaws, so...
Are we going to dislocate Gary Monk's jaw as well?
Could do.
Force him to eat an egg whole. but make it...
An ostrich egg.
Just force a rodent down his throat. I don't know. Let's just win. Let's not worry about Gary Monk's throat.
Sorry, what were you going to say about the game, Michael?
It's weird. I feel a bit like it might be like last year's game. Fairly tight, 1-0. Jackie, it was a game where we felt like we were definitely going up, I remember last year.
Yeah, that worked out well.
So we're both going for 1-0. You're going for embarrassing?
Yes, embarrassing nil. I'm not putting a number on it.
Let's pick our heroes and villains then from the last 7 days, people who've brought joy and despair in equal measure. We start off with a Ken Bates Villainy Award, named after a man who brought us plenty of despair. It's hard to think, looking back on those times, that it ever happened now, really, isn't it? Now we're enjoying things so thoroughly. And it is quite enjoyable, despite the stress of waiting to get promoted.
Do you remember last time we played Arsenal, when Ken Bates was in charge?
I don't know.
And Thierry Henry scored that goal. Everyone went mad. And then we played him a year before as well. The year before, when we drew there, we had Gradle, House and Snodgrass in the team. That was good.
Yes.
The game when Thierry Henry had to come on to score the winner, we had Ramon Nunes, Zach Thompson and Mika Vaarinen playing.
Player. I wouldn't have a word against Mika Vaarinen.
That was Ken Bates' transfer policy right there. I think we'd actually only sold Gradle by that point. Houghton was about to be sold. Snodgrass was going to be sold in summer.
Ken Bates hated Mika Vaarinen though. He slagged him off wholesale for getting injured after he came and then worked out his the fee per games ratio. So absolute waste of money. You signed the check.
It was his mate who found him, wasn't it? It was a Williams signing, wasn't it?
I don't think so. I think from memory, he was just found. Like I said,
we already had Forsell, didn't we? Did he just know him?
Desperately. They are actually really good mates.
That's what I mean. Did he just went, oh, I've got a mate?
I've never worked out whether they met at...
That's quite Sunday League, isn't it? Is. Any mates who can bring the boots down on Sunday, they'll get a game.
We had to fight Red Bull Salzburg for him, I believe.
I mean, that'd be a great loan move for Jack Clark, wouldn't it, thinking about it?
The living embodiment of Red Bull.
He's there twitching on the sidelines waiting to come on.
Is this why you're nominating Ken Bates, though, for that team?
Yeah, basically, for putting together such an appalling... Darren O'Day was in that team as well. I mean,
Christ on a bike.
How they only beat us 1-0 is embarrassing, frankly.
It is.
And also, Wyoming Ken has been quiet. Although, while looking him up, I did find his term... Yeah, his term ends on the 1st of May, 2021. So we've still got a bit more of Wyoming Ken to come, hopefully.
One more year. Who else is getting a nomination for villainy?
That Fulham child.
The Fulham child, why?
That grassing little bastard. Don't play up your role. Just give the ball back and shut the fuck up.
If Liam Cooper wants to pass on the address he sent those boots to, if he's got his home address, we'll send the Coyle brothers round. Smash him up.
The Coyle.
That's an old retro podcast reference, is that, yeah.
No, that was the Turner twins.
That was the Turner twins. The I'm thinking of Louis and what's his brother called? The boxer?
Coyle? Daddy Coyle? No, that's wrestling, isn't it?
Anyway, them two are going to go around and
giant haystacks
and give him a proper 15-year-old beating.
Who else is getting a nomination?
Another pathetic child, Eddie Nketiah.
Never liked him.
Expensive, moaning, gone crying back to his mum and dad at Arsenal.
Degree of entitlement about Arsenal, isn't there?
I mean, he was quite good for a big
played. Maybe we've seen now, by playing them, we've seen the culture he's come from. It's just like hanging around with a bunch of players who don't give a shit.
It is true, that, actually, to a certain extent. I think it really is.
And also, I mean, they signed that Martinelli kid we were on about. They signed him. Why are they signing him if they've got Eddie? If they thought you were any good, Eddie, they'd be bringing you off the bench in an FA Cup game.
You might think this is a loan to Bristol City, but you may be putting down more roots.
It will it will be genuinely interesting to chart his career from here, because I think he's good, but is he as good as he has been billed?
I found yesterday there was a quote, ex-Arsenal loanee, saying, you know, loved my time at Leeds. It was brilliant having the fans behind me and feeling the support. Like, and he quoted, the quote was, when you ran back to tackle, they cheered as if you'd scored a goal. And at the time there, it's still some of his, it made him love football again. Sanchez Watt, that was. He was just signed for Wealdstone. This was on the occasion of him signing for Wealdstone. He'd done kind of a look back at his career. Still says Simon Grayson rekindled his love for football after, because he kind of lost his way at Arsenal. And then without Simon Grayson to guide him after that, he's ended up there. So a warning to you, Eddie Nketiah, not every Arsenal loanee goes back and does well.
There's a lot of expectation on his shoulders. He is being billed as the next big thing, and he might not be.
I mean, it's going to be great to be able to pick up the phone and have Ian Wright there to speak to and give you advice. He's probably been in a lot of the situations he'll find himself in and was a legendary goal scorer, but I'm not sure how useful it is to have Ian Wright jumping on your every move on Twitter and saying, everybody look at this kid, isn't he fucking amazing? It's like, yeah, give him a break.
No, you're right. It does add another layer of pressure. That
you should talk him right down.
just don't talk about him. Just let him go to the footballing backwater that is Bristol and leave him. Leave him to Lee Johnson's tiny little lying hands.
Lee Johnson's met him and thinks he's a target man due to the size difference between them.
Pumping big balls at him.
Going to get to see him amongst other normal sized humans and be like, oh shit, he's only about 5'9". Thought we were signing Jan Koller.
He lives in the Shire, doesn't he, does Lee Johnson, little tiny hobbit man. Who else is getting a nomination then?
A grown-up child, allegedly Donald Trump. Don't start a war. We want to win the league. Yeah. Just leave it alone.
It's a bit distracting, isn't it?
Seems very spiteful that he's doing this when we're on the verge of promotion, trying to kick things off.
A targeted strike against Marcelo Bielsa is presumably assessed as like too controversial. So to take somebody out in the Middle East instead, start a proxy war with Iran to get back at Leeds.
Speaking of controversial, I did see one Leeds fan this morning tweet something. It was in particularly bad taste, but I couldn't help but laugh at it. It was a picture of a quote tweet of, there's a picture doing the rounds of the body of this General Soleimani, is it?
Yes.
And this Leeds fan, who I won't name because I don't want to, you know, cause some sort of pylon, said Anthony Taylor would have still let it go. would have waved play on. Oh, God.
Well, as we're on it, let's nominate him.
Yeah.
Not for this particular
crime.
Crime. Well, a crime, or, you know, it's up for debate what it constituted, but it's not for this podcast. But he did definitely let them off with several things. And also the people, whoever it was, who was the VAR ref who watched the...
Stuart Atwell, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Him as well.
Is Atwell the little jumped up little prick?
I mean, it's a Premier League referee, so they're all jumped up little pricks. It was a little taste of next season, really, wasn't it? Dealing with jumped up little prick referees watching tellies.
Just very slightly better jumped up little prick referees.
Are they better?
No.
I mean, even fucking Keith Stroud would have booked Xhaka last night.
Xhaka Khan, is he getting a...
Don't even associate him with the glorious name of Xhaka Khan. He does not deserve
Xhaka
to be
can't.
Even mentioned in the same breath as she is every woman and Xhaka is every as far as I can tell.
While we're on cheats as well, Hal Robson-Kanu for that dive in the West Brom game. It feels a while ago now, but let's not forget.
Let's go mental at Slaven Bilic about that. We'll go knock on his door and say, the game of the decade, and he dives.
Very true.
Now, I'm seeing a nomination here for Wayne Rooney has been put on the sheet.
Mm.
Who wants to nominate Wayne Rooney and why?
I put him on there because I've not seen him play yet, but his name's just everywhere.
Yeah.
Mm. I'm sick of it already.
And his number, surprisingly.
And I have seen a bit of him on Match of the Day.
Was it in your grocers in the potato section?
It was. Did he play for Derby in the FA Cup? He probably did. He was referred to as a quarterback, playing the quarterback role, I think, by Jermaine Janus. I was drunk at the time, but I've got a vague memory of this happening, and
was
I just
it
thought
3 o'clock kickoff.
Oh God! No, it was Match of the Day. It was the evening highlight show.
Lunchtime kickoff.
And it was FA Cup third round. It goes on forever, doesn't it? You've got to drink to get through it. And I just thought, oh, this is what we're going to have. I don't want him in this league.
Quarterback is just what you say about...
someone who can't move.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Ilya Meslier is a quarterback, but he could move. He's just not allowed... Well, we'll see how much he respects those rules.
To counterpoint that, I would like to nominate Bristol City for tweeting Wayne Rooney's Derby County, because there's a little bit of a poke with a stick there, isn't there? And rightly so. I'm all for Rooney becoming a bit of a distraction at Derby, because they've become a little bit of a sideshow of a club, haven't they, of Derby this season, which I've enjoyed a great deal.
I mean, paying their players would probably be the first thing they need to take care of, rather than worrying about having a expensive quarterback in their team that your manager doesn't even want.
And he won't make much of a difference, because they are a fairly terrible side.
I just feel like I'd got used to him not being here, and I preferred it. Like young Rooney, when he first came through at Everton, that was exciting, wasn't it? He's going to be England's new striker and everything. That's nice. Then he went to Scum, and he was quite good there for a few years, but obviously it was at Scum, so you couldn't enjoy it. Even when he was playing for England, you couldn't enjoy it. Then he got worse and worse, to the point where Scum and England should have dropped him, but they were hanging on for various records. And then eventually he left, and it was like, ah, can all breathe again now. The bad thing is gone. Let's just move on in a world without Wayne Rooney. And now here he is again.
I mean, he can quarterback all he wants, but he's still just pinging passes at fucking Chris Martin, isn't it? Is he still there? Who's even got up front? Just nonsense.
This one could come back to bite us at the end of the season, couldn't it?
You see if he can hit the cars as they're driving away from an accident. That could be his challenge for him.
I have started to visualise what promotion might feel like this year, which is foolish of me, I do realise, but I really, really want us to celebrate it at Derby. That's where I want it to happen. Just to nicely complete the circle back towards last year's playoff defeat. It feels like there's a...
complete the circle back to Bournemouth 1990.
No, well, probably best avoided. Yeah, it feels like we need to close that particular chapter. Like, you know, with Lampard dancing on our pitch and all the binoculars stuff. Because you know that there's the potential there for some naughty celebrations if we do it.
And Wayne Rooney to finish the season with a driving ban.
For what? What's he going to do?
Oh, drink driving. Just keep it consistent.
You think that's going to definitely happen? But are you going to suggest he's a criminal drink driver?
He has been done for it before.
I see you reaching for your phone to check.
He has been done for it. Like I said, he may have been done for it before.
I did enjoy Derby's attempts at sort of saying how much work he's been doing.
Yes, he is a drink driver. Okay. Yes, confirmed. Levi Solicitors stand down.
They were pushing out about how, even though he's not been playing, he's been doing loads of stuff in the community by saying he went to play a game of pool at a local community club and attended the Christmas party, even though he didn't have to, like the kids' party that he did. So in all the months he's been hanging around there, he's done two things. That's good, isn't it? See?
Did he go to the local kids' party as Mr. Potato from Toy Story? Is that what he was? Was he the entertainment?
Just speaking of which, there's a courtroom drawing of Wayne Rooney looking like an 80-year-old man.
That's a hard Brexit face if ever you saw one, that.
That's what we want from this season, is Leeds going up and some more courtroom drawings of Derby-related figures.
Are we going to pick ourselves a winner from that array of individuals then?
Fulham kid.
He's probably annoyed me the most. So unnecessary. And even like the fact that... Liam had to go the trouble of making that graphic as well so we could tweet it out. Hey, you got to choose a picture. You got to, what font are you going to do?
Probably have a blend on it so you can see the text.
Probably had to have it approved by the FA as well. Is the wording on this okay?
Like, not only that, he's had to spend postage on those boots probably.
And the boots.
And then he's queued up
boots ain't cheap.
Queued up at the post office as well.
And the post office staff are probably, oh, all right, Liam. Don't see you in here very
Fuck
often.
Off.
What are you posting?
I did enjoy the suggestion that he might have sent him a Karma Gold Macron shirt as a punishment.
Didn't have any of his own left, so he's got a wooden four. Here you go. It's match worn.
And two left feet from the boots. That's a wooden special as well, the two left feet. Anyway, yeah, so the Fulham kid's having it, is he?
Yes.
Yeah, your reward's in the post, you little prick.
Much worse than starting a nuclear war.
It hasn't started yet.
Not yet.
Right, on to the Andy Hughes Hero Award. People who have made us smile across the last 7 days, who we got?
Robbie Gotts, for playing his first and last game for Marcelo Bielsa's Leeds United.
Oh, bless him. He looked so delighted, didn't he?
Yes, it's good. It's good to have finally seen him and his patience rewarded, as we discussed, as well as Marcelo Bielsa said. He's resisted the urge to walk, flounce out of the club and straight into Barcelona's first team, and got his reward, not with just a pissy little substitute appearance 5 minutes at the end of the game where you don't even touch the ball. Nope, you can go and start against Arsenal. Good. And he did all right. As we said on the match ball, he didn't excel, but you wouldn't really expect him to against a team like that in a competition like that and on an occasion like that. He came through the test well. I think Bielsa's quote was something like he proved that he has the capability to compete in this level, and now he can go back to the under-23s and tell them all about the time that he once played against Arsenal.
Ilan Meslier as well, for similar reasons, except he's obviously going to... This is just the first game of his 600... game strong league's career, which will surely follow this.
Wasn't this how John Lukic came into the team? He just stepped in as a youngster.
What, as the best passer in the squad?
And didn't get dropped again. I don't think he was the best passer in the squad, basically, unless he'd forgotten it all by 1992 when the back pass rule came.
I was going to say, comparing Meslier's spraying of the ball around to John Lukic's flustered kicking it out of play that came in 1992. Just, we thought he was a goalkeeper. He's Michel Platini and stick insect combined in a glorious form.
That passing, I know we mentioned it on the match ball. There were moments where we kind of all looked at each other yesterday. It's like, did you see that?
I was actually willing our defenders to give him the ball more often.
Just so you could see what he'd do next.
Yeah, when they passed it to Berardi or something, I thought, turn around, pass backwards. I want to see what he can do. And it was like the fact that we do have an option to buy him on this loan move is great. I've seen 90 minutes of him and I say, buy him now.
Wonderful passer. Yeah, who else would you like to nominate for hero ship?
Bielsa, because he is an official hero. the Leeds Live hero of 2019.
Oh, really?
He was voted it ahead of people who've done things like saving drowning men, saving a pregnant woman and her unborn child, helping the homeless, stuff like that. He's above all those.
He would have done those things anyway if he'd had to.
I bet he does all that stuff in his spare time.
Well, I don't think any of those other people would have even done those things were it not for Bielsa's presence. I think he's made the city of Leeds a better place. So now people, ordinarily you would have looked over the bridge at a drowning man and just gone, ah, what can any of us do really? What would Steve Evans do? He's not going to help, is he? I'm just going to leave. Just going to let him wash away.
Would he float?
Steve Evans. Yeah.
Turn himself into a boy with a U in it. Not a Wazim boy, but the spelling.
All joking apart, do you feel like Marcelo Bielsa has made a genuine improvement to your life? Because I do.
Enormous.
Yeah.
Enormous improvement. My Saturdays, for a start, are now enjoyable.
He's also made me like consider what it means to be a better person, and I mean that quite sincerely.
Yeah, don't you could start showing it.
There's not much hyperbole in saying that he's made the city a better city, because if you look at what BBC were pumping out before the game last night, it wasn't that normal stuff of like, we got a coal train to the grim northern slag heap strewn. They called it the motorway city of the 70s, but all those motorways fell into the river. And now there's deprivation everywhere. And instead, it was how beautiful with Burley Banksy going around painting murals, and everybody's really pleased to see Bielsa in the supermarket. And yeah, it had that nicer feeling that it wasn't doom-laden photographs of Cellino and videos of him marching out press conferences and saying, crisis club, Leeds United have lurched from one disaster to the next since 2004.
Only 19 years since they were Champions League semi-finalists.
And there was a bit of that in the commentary. They did mention how long it had been, but it was more with amazement rather than relish in the commentary last night. And then I tweeted it during the game that I think, and I've said it on the podcast before, that we should just be allowed into the Premier League now. I think last night was a good advert for it, not just the way we played, but everything about us. Yeah, 4 years ago, you probably would have said everything about us said we should just be bombed out of the leagues, just close the club down and forget the whole thing, which obviously we'll have to face up to at the end of the season if we don't go up. But now we are in that position where we should just be
elected to the Premier League.
Elected, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would like to nominate, as an extension of that, the BBC for multiple reasons. Not employing Don Goodman. Mm-hmm. Good work.
Yeah. Employing Jermaine Beckford.
Yeah. For not muting our fans when they were singing and putting Birdsong over the top.
Didn't even apologise, did they, for any of the language?
Allowing them to swear.
If you have heard Liam Cooper saying anything that has upset you before the watershed, we apologise on behalf of the BBC.
And for them being kind enough to recognise great stuff when they see it and reaching out to us and getting the Rhys Lowry, Bielsa, Day of the Dead artwork in their early show build-up, which was great. And Rhys, who spells his name properly.
He does, like a proper Welshman would.
So well done, BBC.
And well done you if you've gone straight to our website and the merchandise link and ordered a copy of the print.
Who else would you like to nominate as a hero?
Alioski.
Yeah.
Do sit there and take the piss out of the scum. Do that.
Magnificent.
It doesn't matter that we did lose to them 4-0 in summer when we played for them. Those were artificial circumstances. Yeah, sit and laugh at them. I'm all in favour of it. And what's even great about it is we don't have to back it up, because we're not going to play them. So they can't prove he's wrong. And
slinging some shit over a wall and running off.
It's classic post-truth era, isn't it? Doesn't matter whether it's true or not. We've said it now and it's out there.
We are better than them. Are you though? Yep. You lost 4-0 last game though.
Don't matter.
Still better than them. Things have changed.
And then when we play them next season and we lose, well, things have changed again. But in that moment, if we played them in the third round, would have beaten them.
I'd like to nominate Pat Bamford for being better than Eddie Nketiah, as everyone always said he was. He proved it against West Brom.
Proved it against Arsenal.
And all he did was back up everything that every Leeds fan has always said all season.
Nketiah was very quiet last night, wasn't he?
He was.
Didn't make much impact in that game compared to Bamford.
Who missed several chances.
Who's your hero?
Meslier, for me. Because I was worried about this Kiko ban, because I was thinking it might be like when we had to put Bailey Peacock Farrell in and you always expected him to just let shots in. He just sort of let one in every three shots or so.
He'd just
allow one to go in.
Every three shots? What are these two shots he saved? Are these the ones that went wide?
The ones that hit him.
And with respect to Bravo, Papa Foxtrot, he does look like such a significant upgrade on the evidence so far, doesn't he?
I mean, we've mainly just been cooing over his passing, but he did make some saves, didn't he?
Made some good saves, and we highlighted that a little bit of where he didn't have to deal with a corner, but he looked like he could have. Which is immediately more faith than I have in Kiko Kassia at a corner. He was possibly, he was maybe the biggest individual surprise of the night, and I'm content to name him as my new hero.
Because he looked like he could have dealt with the corner.
Great. Well done, Ilian Meslier. That wraps up this episode of the Square Ball Podcast. We're back on the Extra Ball this week and the Phil Hay Show later on in the week as well. You can get mags, mugs and merchandise via the website at thesquareball.net. We will return on the Match Ball as well after the Sheffield Wednesday game. Another glorious 3 points in the bag as we speed towards promotion.
Hopefully not driving ban speed. Just sensible within the legal limits towards promotion.
And we'll speak to you then. Thanks for listening to this one. We'll see you in a bit.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.